If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. This morning, I want to share briefly with you a challenge for today as we continue to think about our mission, our purpose for being here. You know, I hope that just continually becomes more and more clear to everyone who comes to this church and everyone around this church that we have a purpose. Churches don't exist just for the purpose of existing. They do have something that they are supposed to accomplish, and it is more than just coming to sit together on these chairs or in a pew. The church needs to make an impact. The church needs to be an influence, and that's what the scripture describes the church as, that group of people who impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, I want us to look in Philippians chapter 3, and let's read verses 12 through 16, and then let's look at a challenge for our hearts this morning. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts and that you would impress your truth upon us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I become tired. Does anybody in here ever experience life in such a way that it makes you tired? Anybody? You know, that's true, not of just life in general and the pace that we try to keep up and the things that we do throughout the week, the work, the family, the marriage, the friends, relationships, and trying to keep up with those things throughout the week oftentimes becomes tiring. But you know that ministry can become tiring as well. And attempting to accomplish the Great Commission can become tiring. And that's why at one point in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks to the church and says, "Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest." And so the idea is there that we are to continue laboring in the Lord's work. We are continued to follow Him and to do what He has asked us to do, especially in reference to the gospel ministry. And when we do that, in due time, we'll see a harvest. And that harvest is a reference to people coming to faith in Jesus Christ and having their lives transformed for all of eternity by meeting the one who died to save them from their sins. And so we kind of start with that in mind, this idea of the Holy Spirit saying, don't grow weary in doing good, in reference to doing good in the gospel ministry. With that in mind, I want to share a word out of Philippians that has to do with pressing on. Pressing on. Paul is talking here to the church, the local church in Philippi, and he is encouraging them to continue moving forward in the gospel ministry. And so I want us to think in terms of what it's going to take to press on. Some of you here today may be tired, and you may feel weary, and it may be for a number of different reasons. It could be because of what's going on in your life personally. It could be because of sickness that you're having to deal with or someone else that you love is having to deal with. There are a lot of things that we encounter in life that pull down on us, that cause us to grow weary and drain us, if you will. And so Paul's encouragement here is to keep on keeping on, to press on. Now, and he says this in these verses, but before we jump into them and see what it's going to take to press on, let me just say that he is using an analogy here of an athlete. And so as he's thinking about what he's writing, he has an image in his mind of an athlete who is pressing forward to win the prize, doing whatever it takes. Now, we're familiar with this in America, right? We see stories about people all the time who go to great lengths to develop their bodies to be able to perform at the highest level in athletics. And we enjoy watching that, don't we? We enjoy seeing those people perform at that level. But to get to that level, there's a lot that has to take place. And they have to do it all the time. It's not something that they do on Monday and then they come back to it on next Wednesday and then maybe a Sunday from now. It's something that they are constantly having to pursue. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. When he's talking about pressing on, he's talking about doing it like an athlete in training. It's interesting to me that in this life, we will go after a lot of things with a passion, like Paul's talking about. But spiritual things is seldom one of them. We'll go after building up our kingdom. We'll go after the fun and the pleasure and the things of this life. But how often are we moving like an athlete trying to win a competition towards spiritual things? And so that's what Paul's saying. And he's saying, press on. So if you look there in verse 12, you'll see, we'll begin to see, what's it going to take? If we're going to press on, what do we need? Well, we need the right motivation, okay? The right motivation is needed for pressing on. There in verse 12, it says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That would be heaven. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And there, down in verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. We talked about this some last week. According to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So, what does Paul give here in these passages as the right motivation for pressing on? We need a reason. Right? We need something that would cause us to want to move forward in the faith and continue to press on. Well, the first thing he mentions is our present reality about our spiritual condition. And that is, we are not there yet. Anybody feel like you've arrived? Don't raise your hand, please. We don't want to see that today. Paul says, I'm not there. Now, if you'll back up and you'll read verses prior to this, you'll hear him saying this, if anybody could boast, I could. In the context of what he's saying here, he's saying, I am one that if anyone could boast, I could boast about the things that I've done, and I could boast about my lineage of the tribe of Benjamin. I could boast about how smart I am and how educated I am. He ends up saying, I count it all as rubbish. And then he comes to this point and says, I've not yet attained. I'm not there. So one of the things that motivates us to keep pressing on is the fact that we're not there yet. The present reality of our spiritual condition, we've still got a ways to go. All of us. But not only is our present spiritual condition part of that motivation, also our future expectation of heaven. He talks about a citizenship in heaven. He talks about being moving forward and pursuing and pressing towards that which Christ has already laid hold of. And he talks about in verses 20 and 21 being transformed into our glorious body and meeting the Lord. We're not there yet spiritually on earth, and we've not yet gone home. These are two things that Paul sets in front of the church to say, keep pressing on, because you got a ways to go in your spiritual growth, and you've not been called to heaven yet. So keep on keeping on. In fact, there's this idea that we are to press on and we are to pass on what we know about Jesus because we're passing through. Did you hear that? Press on, pass it on, because you're only passing through. And so there's a motivation for pressing on. Secondly, I want you to see the right mindset that is required for pressing on. There in verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And then he says, "I press toward the goal." Here's another part of that heavenly call. "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ." What is the upward call? It's a call to heaven. "Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind." So we got to have the right mindset in order to press on. "And in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." I like that. Paul says, hey, I'm telling you the truth. You may think differently, but God will fix that later. God will reveal that to you if you're wrong about what you're thinking about what I'm saying. And so we have the right mindset that is required for pressing on. That is told to us here in the idea of forgetting and reaching. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to that which is in front of us. I want to say to you that it's become my belief over the years of pastoring and working with people that most people live in the past. Most people live in the past. Most people are captivated. They are held hostage by their past. When Paul says forget what is behind, he is not saying that you are to never remember it again. Forget doesn't mean to fail to remember. Remember this, okay? Forget does not mean to fail to remember, not in this context. Here's what it means. It means to no longer be influenced or impacted by your past. To not let it have a hold on you. To not let it dictate your days ahead. And the interesting thing is, when we see this, when we see Paul say, forget what is behind, we're like, absolutely, God, I don't want to remember what's behind me, right? Because it's easy for us to want to forget the bad. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you also need to forget the good. Not in the sense of not remembering, right? But in the sense of it not affecting what God has for you in the future. You see, Paul's not just talking about bad things. He'd done a lot of good things too. So if we remember the bad things, if we let them continue to affect them, that causes depression. That causes self-loathing. We begin to hate ourselves. It causes us to have self-pity. And so we don't need to let the bad influence us today, the bad in the past. Influence us today and tomorrow and the next day. Paul's saying, forget that. Don't let that affect you in a negative way. How does the good in the past affect us? Well, it causes us to become apathetic. It causes us to think, as Paul's already said is not true, that we've arrived. We've already reached our peak, that we've already accomplished what we're supposed to accomplish. It actually leads to self-centeredness and self-righteousness. So don't let the bad in your past hold you back by causing you to fall into depression and think that you are not worthy. And don't let the good of your past fool you into thinking that you are so good that there's nothing else left for you to reach for. Because Paul says, forget what is behind, reach forward to that which is ahead. It's kind of like this. When I grew up, I played Little League Baseball. And I loved it. Had a great time. And when we started practice, I was out to make All-Stars. I mean, it was just a goal. I was going to make All-Stars if I possibly could. I wanted to have the most home runs. I wanted to be the MVP. And in those days, they gave out specific trophies for all those things. And there were some years when I walked home with a bunch of trophies. And I put them on my shelf to look at. Because I had won a victory. But the truth of the matter is, those trophies on that shelf today do nothing for me tomorrow. I want to tell some of you here this morning, put your trophies on the shelf and keep moving forward. Take a look at them every once in a while. But don't let that victory that you won keep you from experiencing more victory in the future. Paul says, forget what is behind. He's talking about both bad and good. Again, not in terms of erasing your memory, but in terms of not letting it captivate you. Some people are captivated with themselves. They're so good. They've done so good throughout their lives that it holds them back from taking the next step of faith and accomplishing what God has for them. Same thing for those who have that bad in their life. They allow Satan to steal their joy, and they allow him to keep them from moving forward in the faith. Both good and bad things of our past can influence us in a way that holds us back. But he not only says forget, he says to reach. Now, remember, he's using an analogy or an illustration of an athlete. And it really has in mind this idea of somebody who's running, who's pressing forward, who's at the finish line and has to press forward to win the victory. And but think about this. When he's talking about reaching forward, he's very specific about not reaching back. He says, reach forward. How many of you have ever seen anybody win a race that was running looking backwards? Not very often. He'd have to be real fast. Now, they could beat me looking back, but that's beside the point. You don't run very well looking back. Paul says your eyes are to be on the prize, which is the upward call of Christ Jesus in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, here's what you need to know. What's back here has nothing for you. But what's out here, the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. So what I'm telling you is this stuff back here, whether it's good or bad, it has nothing for you. But out here, God has something for you, and you should press on. You should press on in Jesus' name. You should press on, reaching forward to those things which God has in store. This is the right mindset. You've got to have have the right motivation. Not there yet. Spiritually, I'm not there yet. And I'm certainly not there yet in heaven. Got to have the right mindset. And that is of thinking forward to what God has in store for you. And then lastly, we see the right model to emulate while pressing on. This is interesting because Paul uses himself. He says, brethren, in verse 17, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And so Paul says, look at me and look at others like me and follow our example. Now, that's intimidating to me. Because not necessarily trying to follow his example, because what it says to me is, at some point, I've got to be the example. So Paul says there's a model for this. It's those who are running the race already. It's those who are striving for the things of God. It's those who are pressing on no matter what happens in their life, good or bad. They're moving forward for the sake of the kingdom of God. They are living for Jesus every day. Follow the pattern of those people who are faithful and obedient to God. Paul says, I'm one of those, and there's others. Look at them. Emulate them. Use them as an example. Paul actually said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, imitate me. But that wasn't the last of the verse. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So Paul's not pointing to himself as being perfect. He's saying, follow the example that I'm setting in following Jesus. You know, oftentimes when I'm praying for the church, one of the things that I'll pray is, God, help me to follow you because people are following me. And I don't want to lead them astray. Paul's saying, be the example. So here's the thing. Paul gives us the model for being able to press on in the faith, but we also know that we are to move from following the model to being the model. That many of you here have grown spiritually enough to where you are modeling that for others. And that's important because people are watching you. And the younger generation, even people in your family, friends, people who are looking at you who are part of Church of the Rockies, and they're watching to see how we live. And the truth of the matter is, living for Jesus ought to be a life that is contagious. It ought to be a life that people want to live. So when they see us living that way, they want what we have. And they want to live like we're living. They want to model themselves after what they see in God's people in the church because it's right, it's good, it's holy. It's the way God has intended for it to be. And it's the standard that is set for all the world to see. But we go from watching the model to modeling and then to being on mission and reaching people for Christ. It's absolutely essential that we as believers not allow Satan to win, not to allow our circumstances to defeat us, but that we press on. And this is not the only time the Apostle Paul talks about this. Now, let me say this as we kind of wrap this part of our service up. Pressing on applies to you personally, individually. It applies to our church and to churches. But for you, you have got to hear the words of the Holy Spirit today calling you to press on like an athlete. Not to let anything deter you from going to where God wants you to be. So whatever it is in your past, good or bad, you stop allowing it to dictate your future. You begin to move forward. forward, one step at a time, away from those things, toward God. In fact, Jesus said, "Come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened, I will give you rest." And so individually, personally this morning, I know that some of you are struggling. That's a general statement. I know that some of you are struggling because that such is life. You need to know everybody struggles. You're not alone. Your pastor struggles. Everybody struggles. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's not time to throw the towel in. It's time to go back to the weight room. Keep training. Keep preparing for what it is God has in store for you. And then I would say a word to our church. We have been blessed. We had 161 people here on Easter Sunday. You knew that because you were sweating and you were shoulder to shoulder. We have been blessed as a church family. Our church is not even 4 years old yet. God has His hand on our church, but I'm going to tell you something. We've not yet arrived. And we have to be careful to make sure that we don't let all of the good that we've experienced keep us from the next blessing that God has in store. Because it's coming. It's there. God is not through with us yet. He's not through with you yet. And He's not through with this church yet. And we have not yet arrived. There's much more to do and there's much more to gain in Christ as we as a church family move forward in faith, seeking Him and allowing Him to lead us and to guide us into the great journey of accomplishing the Great Commission. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for the encouragement to press on. I know there are people here today that are ready to give up. They're tired. They're hurting. They're struggling. They're confused. They don't know what to do. And yet, Lord, You have the answers. And they're found in a personal relationship with You. They're found in trusting You, loving You, and living for You. And so I pray for each person here this morning. God, I'm so glad that You are the God of miracles. You are the God who takes something bad and makes something good out of it. And You're the only one who can do that. Lord, You've called us to live and live abundantly. And so I pray for each man, woman, boy, and girl in this place right now. God, that You would just get a hold of their hearts and that our hearts would be set afire for You and for the things that are good and right and holy. And Lord, that we would pursue our relationship with You as an athlete pursues the victory. That we would put forth that much effort, that much energy, that much time, that much thought into going after You and what it is that You have for us in our life. Father, I pray this morning that in these next few moments You would just have Your way in our hearts and in our minds as we seek You in prayer and song, and we pray it in Jesus' name.